you guys out there in the third dimension with your smart devices, you can really exercise your thumbs on this show. Hello, I'm Gary, and this is my wife, Gloria.
Over here.
And we're Grace Faith Christian Discipleship, and this is the GFCD Q&A Bible study. And it's a little bit different tonight, or this morning, depending on where you are in the world, because I'm about 1,000 kilometres north of where Gloria is, but we're both on the east coast of Australia. Mm. And on the screen with us, we've got our guest ministers, Tom and Wendy Hawkins over there in Grimsby, and John Tripp in North Carolina. And they will introduce themselves when we come to the first comment in our Bible study. This is a Bible study. We're in the book of Hebrews, and we're in Hebrews chapter 10. But right now, Gloria is going to open this Bible study with prayer and lead us through communion. Over to you, Gloria.
Thank you. Thank you. So if you've just joined us, please get something that you can use as the elements for representing the body and blood of Jesus when we take communion. It's usually bread or crackers or juice or wine, whatever you want to use. Please go and get some and join us. We know there are many people out there that do like to have communion with us, and we thank you. It's really lovely. Even though we may not be able to see you, we know you're there, and we really enjoy having fellowship with you through this special time. So, Father God, we thank you that we have a way of being able to connect with people all over the globe. Even though they may not be able to see us, right now, they could be watching on in the future. The word is true no matter when it goes out. We thank you for that precious word. We know it's going to reach the hearts of people who really want to have their lives changed, and it is the word that will change their lives. So, Father God, we thank you for all the ministers that have given their time tonight to come and be a part of this Bible study. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit, which helps us as we read the word. And we thank you for the word, your precious son, Jesus. And we praise his holy name. Amen.
Amen.
So today, as I was thinking about a little message for communion, I decided to go and have a look at a book that I had, an e-book that I had purchased some time ago by Joseph Prince. And I just started reading through one of the little chapters, and it's titled Receive His Healing Power. And I wanted to give you a testimony, because a couple of Sundays ago I was at our local church, and our friend Pastor Gary Maroney has just started a church in the last few weeks, and he did a message on healing. And I actually did the communion message that day, and it also was had a healing message in it as well. But I hadn't told anybody that I had had an issue for many, many weeks, and it was I hadn't really had a great deal of relief from it. So I went up to Pastor Gary at the end of the meeting, and I said, "Can you stand in agreement with me for healing in my back and in my hip?" And he said, "Of course I will." And he prayed for me. Well, I was so grateful that I stepped out and asked him to pray for me. I already know that I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus, but it was wonderful to have someone else come into agreement with me over that. Anyway, the next day I found myself pain-free, and as I was walking around this little farm that I'm on today, I was praising God for the healing that has manifested in my body. Now, when we take communion, we are declaring what Jesus has done for us, and it's all about him. It's not anything that I've done. It's not even what Pastor Gary had said, because we believe that by his stripes we were healed. And I'm just going to read here from 1 Corinthians 10:16. It says, "When we bless the cup of the Lord's table, aren't we sharing in the blood of Christ? And when we break the bread, aren't we sharing in the body of Christ?" Mm. So when we think about what Jesus has done for us, we really just meditate on what he has actually done. The word is true. And I'll just read today's thought in here. And as I said, this book is a Joseph Prince book, so you can go and get it if you like. I haven't got the title in front of me, but I can put that in the messages underneath. Remember, when you partake of the communion, you are proclaiming the Lord's death, 1 Corinthians 11:26, and reminding the devil and his cohorts of their humiliating defeat at the cross, Colossians 2:15. You are proclaiming to the enemy that he has no right to put symptoms of sickness on your body, because the Lord Jesus has already borne every disease and pain on his own body and qualified you for your healing. So partake boldly and receive the healing, health, and life he went to the cross to give you. So we thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you have done for us, that your word is true, that when we say by your stripes we were healed, it is true. We think of you right now, taking those lashes upon your back, and we thank you that you went and suffered willingly for us, that by your stripes we were healed. Thank you, Jesus, for your body. And as we take the cup, we say again, thank you, Jesus, for your precious blood. Your blood took away the sin of the world. Your blood set us free. Your blood has given us life everlasting, because we believe in you and because you are the risen Lord. And we confess that with our mouth. And we thank you for your blood in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for your righteousness that you have given us. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your holy name.
Jesus. Praise you, God. Praise the living Jesus.
Amen.
Leading us through communion. Okay, we're going to go to Hebrews. I'm going to share screen. We'll go to Hebrews chapter 10, and we'll be commenting from verse 5 through to verse 10. But verse 5 starts with the word therefore. So I'm following Tom's lead, and yes, we're going to find out what it's there for. So I'll ask Gloria to read from verse 1.
Yes.
But the ministers, and we'll start with Wendy, then we'll go to Tom. And if you could just comment from verse 5 on, because we've already done these verses the previous week.
So, do you want me to do stop at verse 7, after verse 7?
No, if you could go right through to verse 10. I'll scroll up for you.
All right. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices, which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshippers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take sins away, sins. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do your will, O God. Previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first that he may establish the second. By that will he have been sanctified. Sorry, by that we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all.
Amen. Yeah, thanks, Gloria. Okay, so we're going to be looking for comments from verse 5 through to verse 10. And just before I hand over to Wendy, I just want to point out that this verse 6, this was a prophecy that Jesus would have a physical body. So this was a prophecy verse 6. Sanctify you. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body. This is the part I was talking about. It's in verse 5. But a body you have prepared for me. Now, that was a prophecy in Psalm 40, verse 6. But it was a prophecy that Jesus quoted, because you may remember when Jesus said to the scribes and Pharisees, you know, you search the scriptures, because he's talking about the Old Testament law, for in them you think you find eternal life. But these are they that speak of me. And this is what he's talking about. But a body you have prepared for me. Okay, that's my comments on the word. Now, over to you, please, Wendy. And don't forget to introduce yourself.
My name's Wendy Hawkins, and Tom Hawkins, my husband. And we've been part of this group now for perhaps 3 years. And every single week we learn from one another. So it's a privilege that for the people who are joining us and listening, that we're all learning together the word of God, which there is nothing better than God's word.
Amen.
And to read all what we've just read at face value, you know, can just seem overwhelming, can't it? But I always like to simplify things. And I was just thinking as we was reading those verses, I'm just thankful to God that there was a second part to all this. And the second part was Jesus and the perfect sacrifice. And that he forgave us once and for all. So we don't need to focus on the old. We need to focus on the new, not the first part, but the second part, which is the best news that we could ever have. So, and I was just thinking, only a free man can ransom a slave, and Jesus was the free man. He wasn't, because of his freedom, we can now, he's redeemed us, and now we can walk in exactly the same freedom that Jesus did here on earth because of the second part. And I remember reading, I think it might have been Kenneth Copeland, he said, really, we should be living now in the Garden of Eden, how it was in the beginning before the fall, because everything that Jesus purchased for us, we've got complete freedom. So we can walk in the days before the fall as it was, right in the beginning, walking with Jesus and having fellowship with him every single day. So basically, just to sum up, I'm so pleased with the second part, and the second part being Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thanks, Wendy. That was good. Over to you, Tom.
Yeah, I'm Wendy's equal half, and it's our anniversary tomorrow, 35 years. Yeah. Praise the Lord.
So, congratulations.
And the book, I think, Gloria, was Destined to Reign, but it was the Joseph Prince book. It might not be. I'm not 100%.
Was it that eat well,
eat yourself to help,
the healing power of the Holy Communion?
Just to add on with what Wendy said there again, and what Gary says, when we see a wherefore or therefore, have a look what it's there for. So the following verses is all talking about it's impossible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he comes into this world, he says, and then he quotes from Psalm 40, as Gary said. You see, when it comes to people, in the Old Covenant, they only had a concept of a covering of sin, but they did have a concept of that the life was in the blood, didn't they? Even today, you know, our organs are just the transport system. The life is in the blood. You know, if you don't believe that, then look at somebody who gets a blood disorder and it very quickly escalates out of control. So we have bodily functions, livers and hearts and lungs and stuff, but they're the transportation system. The life is in the blood. And so I think he's just trying to bring it to the fore that you know, Jesus's offering was not with an earthly blood. It was with a heavenly blood in a physical body. And so now that's why he said sacrifice and offerings then would not, but a body did you prepare in whole offerings, etc., and all the rest of it. And in verse 9-8, saying above sacrifice and offerings, and you see that was just the best that God could do at that time, because Jesus, like I say, Jesus wasn't, the time wasn't right for Jesus yet. There was lots of things that had to be taken place. You know, the line of David and everything had to be established, and then we have other things that have to be established. And so, and then, so we can look at that when Jesus came, his blood was not, was the emphasis is on one of them. It's all about the works of man. It's all about the works of the flesh. It's all about the works of the law. And like Wendy said, though, and then the end of that is the most amazing thing, because a lot of people don't read this. It says in verse 10, by which will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. You know what? That makes an end to anybody that says that we have to do sacrifices and offerings, or that we can get brownie points with God if we do this, if we fast, if we pray, if we read the word, if we study, then that makes a way for us to somehow receive more than somebody else. No, that everything we have comes through the one-off, once and for all time sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And it makes it quite clear there in verse 10, by which will we have been sanctified. No longer, not by blood of goats and bulls. That was just a type and a shadow, and the best that God had for that time, just to put some constraint on the question of sin and sinfulness. But now the question of sin and sinfulness has been answered once and for all through the person of Jesus. Mm-hmm. So that's this liberty that we now have, that it's no longer anything that we can do or have done. It's all past, present and future in Jesus. You see, he himself bore our, you quoted it from the beginning, but from 1 Peter 2:24, I was just thinking of that as he himself, Jesus, bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. You see, he himself, not by any boasting of ours, it's all about the one-off sacrifice of Jesus. So praise God for Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, thanks, Tom. Excellent. Over to you, John, please.
Thank you, Gary. I'm John Tripp. I live in the state of North Carolina, which is located in the southeastern part of the United States. Thank you for having me, Gary. Yeah, it's interesting. And I know Joseph Prince, he did a study of the amount of blood that the priests offered on a daily basis in the temple. It's amazing. And you wonder, you know, how they did all that. But I look here in verse 5, which is actually a quote from Psalms 46, where it talks about sacrifice. If you go and you read that, when it talks about his building his a body that he has prepared, I looked at some of that stuff, and it talks about a bond servant, and he actually talks about his ears being open, actually being pierced.
Yes.
And there was a common practice to put an earring in a person's right ear, I believe. anyway, and that's what that's making reference to. We are a bond servant, and that earring indicated ownership. You know, you were sold out to them. You were going to help the person that you were a slave to. Now you could become a part of the family. I mean, you were respected that much. So that's where we are. Where we find ourselves. We become a bond servant. We got that. We got that earring, even though we don't. Some people wear them, and we see a lot of them today in our culture, and I'm sure the same in a lot of other cultures. So, but it was just an interesting. I read, go and read Psalm 46. A lot of that comes in that particular all those verses there about a bond servant and the sacrifice that Tom alluded to. Thank you, Gary.
Yeah, thanks, John. Good comments there. Look, I don't know whether you can see this, but it seems to me that the author keeps making the same point over and over and over again as we're reading chapter 9 and now chapter 10 of Hebrews. And I can see why he is doing this, because his audience are Hebrews. And who are Hebrews? Well, they're the Hebrews. They're the children of Israel who had been practicing the law for generations and generations and generations. And as John highlighted, twice a day the priest gave sacrifices, blood sacrifices, made offerings for the sins of the people. And then once a year, the priest went into the holiest of holies, again sprinkling blood, firstly for himself and then for the nation. This went over and over and over, and the big point that has been made here is that by offering sacrifices all the time, continually offering sacrifices, every sacrifice reminded the people that they were sinners. They were sinners. They never were anything else other than sinners. And their sins were being covered by the blood of animals. The big difference that the author of Hebrews is making is that Jesus made one sacrifice for all sin, past, present, and future sin, of all mankind, not only for us who put our faith in Jesus. And as I see it, this is the theme. Now, why is he making the same, going over and over and over? These people they're entrenched in legalistic thinking. Even though they've given their hearts to Jesus, they're now born again Christians, they've forsaken the law, but he's got to get them into that mindset so that they can walk in the Spirit, so that they can be, you know, we walk by faith, and it says, you know, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. He's trying to get them to make a decision to walk in the Spirit, to operate in the Spirit, instead of the letter of the law, because the law was a law of death, but the grace, the covenant of grace, is a covenant of life. Amen. Before we commence the next segment, which is always the highlight of our Bible study, I'd like to pray over your giving today. This prayer comes from 2 Corinthians 9. Verses 10 and 11. May God, who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. I thank God for your giving. I thank God for those who on a regular basis are partnered with GFCD and give monthly. This allows us to keep all our various programs going. Thank you again. God bless you. And we'll read verses 11 through till 18, please, Gloria.
Yep.
11 through to 18. Okay. So that was good. Okay.
Okay.
So the heading is Christ's death perfects the sanctified. And we'll just read down to verse 18, please, Gloria.
Okay. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he had said before, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts and in their minds. I will write them." Then he adds, "Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin."
Amen. No longer an offering for sin. No longer an offering for sin. That is hugely important. I just want to, before I hand over to Wendy, I just want to bring out a couple of things. Psalm 40, which verses, it's hard for me to remember which verses it is. It was in the previous reading between verses 5 through to 10. It was, a lot of that was quotations from Psalm 40. That was written by David hundreds of years before Jeremiah. Now, in verse 16, it says, "This is the covenant I will make with them after those days, says the Lord." This is a quotation from Jeremiah 31, verses 33 to 34. So, you know, the author here is bringing quotations from David out of the Psalms, now quotations from Jeremiah, to back up the point that he is making, which is summed up here in verse 18. Now, where there is remission of these, of what? The sins. The sin issue has been dealt with totally by Jesus. We're not doing a type and shadow. This is the real deal. Jesus did away. John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, not just covers it up." Over to you, please, Wendy.
Thank you, Gary. Just as Gloria was reading number 11, verse 11, it says, "And every priest stands ministering during the offering." So in verse 11, but then it says in verse 12, "But this man," talking about Jesus, "after he had entered once and for all for his sins, he sat down." So the priest was standing, but Jesus is sitting. And I thought, how powerful is this? Because when we stand, it's like a symbol that we're still working. But when we sit down, it's a symbol that we're resting. Mm. So because Jesus sat down, because he didn't have to stand anymore because his work was done, we can also sit in his very presence, and we can also sit and rest in the fact that he made that offering once and for all for us. So we don't need to be rushing around or standing, doing the work. Jesus is sat down for us, and we can sit down with him because of this, and we can sit down and we can rest in the fact that he's done the work on our behalf. So that just came to my mind as Gloria was reading those scriptures.
Mm. Excellent. Thanks, Wendy. Over to you, Tom.
I was thinking the same way, but then great minds do think alike. So, and also, you see, this is the difference. I mean, we've all at one time or other, particularly going back some years, I'm sure everybody on the screen can remember when we first got when we first got saved, when we first said yes to Jesus, and we had this zeal and we have all this enthusiasm and we've got all this. But you know, at that time, when I was just thinking about Wendy saying about standing and sitting, religion is really exhausting. It's really exhausting. You talk about people when they're burning out, it's because they're in religion, because religion can never be satisfying. You know, when we got saved, I got saved in a Methodist church. And I mean, man alive, I was, well, Wendy and myself together, we was just involved in everything, you know. And religion will let you do that. Religion will just, it will just wear you out. It will just leave you running around. And when you do that, then another, you know, another thing comes on you, and you do that and you do that. And you know, for people on watching us online, and I'm sure you can testify, it's just exhausting. But you know, grace is just a resting in the finished work of Jesus, and it makes a massive difference. And, you know, one of the things we've been really we've had a lot of criticism over the years over, you know, the way we run the church and things like that, because we purposed that when we started a church, we would learn from the mistakes of our early years, because it was all about what we could do for God. We need to do this for God, and we need to do this outreach, and we need to evangelize. We need to drop tracts through doors. We need to knock on doors. We need to stand in the streets, and we need to do that. And it was all about what we needed to do for God. And so when we set the church up, we said, you know what, we're going to allow the finished work to be the work. And then all we're going to do is equip people with the word. You see, our job is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. It's not to do the work of the ministry for everybody. And that's why we can get it wrong, because we think that, you know, we should be over here doing that. And listen, when we're quite a small church, and so we've got a limited number of resources. So I do end up doing quite a bit of the stuff, but it's not out of works. It's out of the fact of, hey, somebody's got to do it, you know. And if there's only 30 or 40, well, however many of us are there, then we have to do that. But you know, we've reached out to people within our congregation, and now we have people who travel all over the place, and they've all got their own ministries. And guess what? We taught them and trained them for the work of the ministry, which is the finished work of Jesus. You see, we don't have to stand every day, you know, twice a day, making offerings and sacrifices and shedding blood and then running here and there and everywhere. And like Wendy said, it in Christ, it's a seated position. It's not a standing position. You know, Jesus only ever stood once. When Jesus entered into the Holy of Holies with his blood, he sat down at the right hand of the Father and stayed sat down at the right hand of the Father, except for one occasion. And that was when he gave Stephen a standing ovation when he was being martyred and said, lay not this charge against them. The only time you read in scripture that Jesus stood. The rest of the time, you see, we should be seated with Jesus in the finished work. And that's the real secret to grace. Amen.
Thanks, Tom. Excellent again. Over to you, John.
Yeah, thank you, Gary. I think in verse 10, as we read through that, of course, I'm looking some of the things that Andrew Womack has said, but we get introduced to this concept, at least here, because the reference is made in Galatians and Ephesians about our new spirits. We get a new spirit. We're body, soul, and spirit. So we're three parts, and we get this new spirit, and our spirits become sealed. I think if that. The comment is made, and liking that, I think now our bodies and our physical bodies, and of course our soul, our emotions, we all get the effects of sin on a daily basis, and of course we need to confess them, but we don't have to go back and remind Jesus of our past sins, because all that's done once and for all. And so are our new, or, you know, it was taken care 2,000 years ago, but our spirits are sealed. It's like when you buy something, buy meat or whatever, and there are machines that mean that you can vacuum pack whatever your leftovers are. They become vacuum sealed, and you can stick them in the freezer. And I know Tom fishes and I fish, and we probably stick fish in the, and it'll stay there and be pretty much fresh when we get it out to. So isn't that interesting that our spirits are vacuum packed? I like that idea and presents that idea. So thank you, Gary.
No, thanks, John.
I'm just trying to be cute a little bit, so I just thought I'd put that in.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're making me think. We are a three-part being. We are a spirit. We have a soul, and we live in our body. Our body's our earth suit. In John chapter 10, Jesus taught on this. He taught, you know, in John chapter 3, Jesus began to explain things to Nicodemus, but you've got to remember that Nicodemus wasn't born again. People at that time, Jesus hadn't gone to the cross. So there was only a limited amount of understanding that Nicodemus could have, and Jesus could see that he was what we would call today in a head spin, Nicodemus. But over in chapter 10, all the things that Jesus didn't explain to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, he did explain to us in chapter 10. Because in chapter 10, it's talking to us who are born again. So, it explains it in great detail. I don't know how I got onto that. Something that John said twigged me to go there. But look, folks, you've been listening to the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what you've been hearing tonight in the GFCD Bible study as we've been studying out Hebrews chapter 10. But the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to those who believe. Is that you? Do you believe the gospel? Because we've been talking about the fact that Jesus, through his one sacrifice, obliterated the sin of all mankind. Past, present, and future sin. Past, present, and future mankind. All the sin was dealt with. So the sin issue is dealt with. You do not have to deal with the sin issue. But what you do have to deal with is the Jesus issue. Because God the Father made Jesus a stumbling stone, a rock of offense. You might say, shock, horror. How could you say that, Gary? I didn't say that. The Bible says that. The Bible. The Bible, you see, in my early days, my early Christian walk, I did about 18 months on the street ministry. And quite a number of people said to me, if there was a God, he wouldn't send anyone to hell. Well, there is a God, and he doesn't send anybody to hell. You see, the trajectory of all mankind since Adam fell is going direct to hell. But God the Father put this stumbling stone, this rock of offense in the road so that every man and every woman would have the opportunity to make a decision about Jesus. This is your opportunity. Would you like to make Jesus your Lord and Savior? Would you like to get your ticket to heaven? You can do that by saying a prayer in accordance with Romans chapter 10, verse 9. And verse 9 says that if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Eternal life in heaven. That's what that means. Saved means living for eternity in heaven. So right now, if you'd like to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, say this prayer with me. God, I believe in my heart that you raised Jesus from the dead. I have made this decision right now to invite Jesus into my heart, and I declare that Jesus is Lord of my life. I thank you, God, that I can now call you my Heavenly Father, and that I can now call Jesus my Lord and my Savior. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said that prayer for the first time right now, then welcome to the family. The Holy Spirit baptized you into the body of Christ. You are now born again. Your spirit was, as John said before, was just recreated. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Your body hasn't been recreated, your soul hasn't been recreated, but your spirit has been. So there's more, a lot more to learn about this. I'm going to hand over to Gloria, and she will give you an email address, and you need to contact us, because we'll put you in touch with a minister in your local area, regardless of where you are in the world. This is a global ministry, and we've got network connections right around the entire globe, including your neck of the woods. Over to you, yes. Gloria.
So our email address is gfcd.sozo@gmail.com.
Thanks, Gloria. And I just want to thank the ministers on the screen, Tom and Wendy Hawkins from Grimsby on the east coast of England, and John Tripp over there in North Carolina. Thank you very much. Your input into these Bible studies cannot be understated. And thank you to all you guys out there for your comments and your questions. And we'll see you this time, same place, same channel this time next week. God bless.
Bye, everybody. Thank you for joining.